Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. Happy October. Happy October. Man, October came and it's like the autumn switch got flipped. It is just amazing. The weather changed and like we've had Sunday night and last night, it rained all night. I mean, just really wonderful, peaceful rain. And I love rain. I love rain because it's cleansing and healing and just the sound of it. And I don't know, it's like life-giving, life-affirming to me. I just absolutely love rain. That's the first reason I was so happy it rained, and it was just a real kiss on the cheek from God. But the other part of it was I didn't have to water my lawn, and I was planning on watering it yesterday. Yesterday was Monday, so planning on watering it Monday. But it, as I said, it rained all night Sunday night. It rained all night last night. And it was about 50 degrees yesterday, and it'll be about 60 degrees today and cloudy. So none of that rain, well, I can't say none of it, but the majority of that rain is not evaporating. So, you know, when it would be so hot, you'd water, and then it just, you know, no matter what time you watered, it was gone pretty quick, you know, and of course everything soaked it up because it was so hot. But so this is another added blessing to this weather and to the moisture because we had such a hot, dry summer. So, this is just one more reason to love fall in my book. But the funny thing, not so funny at the time, a funny thing happened Sunday night. So here's this rain, and I'm just celebrating the rain. I kept going out, looking out the back door, watching it rain. And it was a busy day online, and I got finished around 8 o'clock that night. And I literally had just finished, you know, sending notes to clients, thank you notes, and it just wrapping it up. So I get up from my desk, and my desk is off of my kitchen. And I go to walk into my kitchen to make a salad for dinner, and the whole house went black. And not only the house, but the whole street went black. There was a power outage, and I mean, like, I haven't seen dark like that since I don't know when. I mean, it was black. None of the appliance lights were on, nothing. So I had my phone in my hand. And it too, I'm looking at it and it's got like about a 46% charge. So I'm thinking, okay, I can't use too much of this, but it's like, what do I do? So I went looking for candles. And as I'm looking for candles, I realize I have no idea where a lighter is or where matches are. Nobody has matches anymore. That's a shame. You know that? I think, you know, you used to be able to go to a restaurant and on the way out, grab a book of matches. It's like they're obsolete. And I think that's kind of sad. Anyway, that was a sidebar. So I had to figure out where I put a lighter and finally found it because I use it to light candles and lit a couple of candles and remembered where my flashlight was. I mean, you just kind of sit there and go, what the heck do I do? It's a surprise, a real surprise when everything goes dark. And Grace is like just, you know, following me around. So I found my flashlight. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me. And I talked about it way back in the summer, I think, on my show. I bought these lights, these LED lights for my showers. I have two bathrooms and both of the showers. One is a small, like a 3-quarter bath with a stall. And the tile in there is dark and it's a small room. So it needed a light. One was for that one. And the other one was for the shower in my main bathroom, which is just kind of in like a little alcove. So it's a little dark too, because the bathroom lights, the ceiling lights are not bright. So anyway, I thought, oh yeah, I've got those lights. So I bought them to light the shower. But then when I bought them in the spring, I got them before my son, daughter-in-law, and my three grandkids came to visit and stay with me. So they were on my mind too when I bought them, you know, because they all pile in the I have a huge bathtub and they all pile in the bathtub, the three of them. And so they get cleaned up one fell swoop. But the thing about this shower light is it has all different colors, and you can put it on a sequence. So it's like the first time they got in the bathtub to take a shower, I put it on this sequence, and it was like they had a disco shower, a disco tub, disco bath, and they just flipped. So every time they had a bath, my son had to turn on the lights and make them rotate. And it goes through all different colors. I mean, it was really funny. That was kind of like the bonus for the lights that I really needed. But anyway, so I grabbed those. I have two of them, and put one in the kitchen, one in, you know, one by the table in the living room where I was going to have dinner, and then took it with me into the bedroom. And I called Xcel Energy, and they said that there was the outage covered 22 houses, I think, were out of power. And it was purposeful. not to use the terms that the very nice woman that I talked to said to me. She said there was a power outage, and in order to get that one back up, they had to take the power off from my neighborhood, my street. And so she said it should be back within the hour. Well, it ended up being a little longer than that, but it's like, you know what? This is a good excuse to just finish dinner, go to bed, and read. Because those lights really do shed a lot of light. And I just put it on my headboard, and that worked out great. And then we turned it off, and we fell asleep. And then all of a sudden I was awakened because my little lamp on my bedside table came on. So it was really a little more than 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But, you know, that was really probably the best time to do it. And the best thing about it, it was right after I finished my work and got up from my desk to go eat. So nothing was affected, and we had a little adventure. So it was just funny. And, you know, disco lights are a good thing, even though I didn't do the disco. I could have. That would have made it even more entertaining. But anyway, just a funny story. I like to share things with you. So this, thank you for being with me today. I am very, very happy to be with you. This show is live today on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. And if you would like to join the chat, go to 12radio.com and click chat. And then from there, you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner, or you can also subscribe to my channel. I don't do readings on the show, but if you'd like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com, usually available mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me, or if I happen to be on another call, schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And if you put in a callback request, then your call comes through immediately after the call I'm on ends. So it's a good system, a really good system. And just a reminder too that my Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session is available on 12listen.com on my bio page, and it will be available throughout fall. You know, autumn is the time of harvest. And so for us, you know, it's a time to maybe think about, look at what we believe, how we feel about receiving. You know, it's been in nature, things have been planted, they've grown, and now they've reached their maturity. So it's time to harvest them and for us to benefit from what we've planted. Well, you know, we can use that same energy to expand our ability to receive, because within us is the kingdom of heaven. We have it. We are it. There is nothing, as Reverend Ike would say, God's got nothing more to give us, because we are the individualization of source. God is us. So it's, you know, expanding our ability to receive is also working on opening out a way for what is already in us to demonstrate in our physical experience in the material world. We're it, like I said, we're it. We're either stopping it or allowing it. Whatever it is we need, we're stopping it or allowing it. And everything, you know, energy is energy. So whatever we need to do, whatever beliefs we need to look at, it's a good time to do that, to realize where we are our own stumbling blocks, because nothing is withheld from us. Nothing. It can't be. So as I said, we're it. Nothing's going to come to us from the outside. It comes through us from that infinite storehouse within. So this session, this 15-minute session, is basically looking at those beliefs and releasing them, clearing the way so that you can receive all. I mean, this is an abundant time of year. And we can feel it when we see the colors changing and when we're outside. Pardon me. And when it rains. So anyway, expansion really is the name of the game right now. So might as well get on the bandwagon, right? We also have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 1-2-listen.com, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. We also celebrate astrological events. Yesterday was a beautiful full moon. And the 12th of each month, 1-2 day, which will be coming up on Sunday, this coming Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 1-2-listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. And that just means you leave your email address. So I just want to say thank you again for listening. However and whenever you do, there is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7. There are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I encourage you to take advantage. And right now, I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing my show today and all that she does for us on 1-2 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Faith Keeper Part 2 by David and Steve Gordon from the Buddha Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it. I'll be back right after. I'm excited to talk to you today. You are listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I'm happy you're here. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I really think that's a lovely piece of music, and I thought it was a good segue into the teaching segment. Well, last week, I did a replay of my show on methods of operation, consciousness or autopilot. That show was just packed with stuff, so I didn't feel bad about replaying it, you know, as a choice for a replay. But it was really interesting because I've been working on what I've been talking about, you know, the principles of acceptance, you know, accepting the circumstance, accepting yourself, your feelings in the circumstance without judgment, you know, and being working more from the principle of wanting to versus have to, you know, and letting go of the self-inflicted hard, fast rules that I've followed my whole life, you know, self-inflicted rules. And it's a really interesting thing to look at and to think about and to process. And it is a process because it is becoming, for me, and I'm speaking from my experience, it is becoming aware or conscious of what I've always done as not necessarily the only way to do it. You know, I mean, that was an awkward way to put it. But you know, following those rules of you have to do this, you have to be this way, you have to, you know, whatever it is, they're not true. You know, they're not truth. Just like beliefs are not truth, opinions are not truth. And like I talked about in the last show, they become a method of operation. And when they're your method of operation, they're easy. They're unconscious. You just do them because it's the way you've always done them, whether they're the best thing to do in the moment or not, you know, whether they're expansive or not. And typically, if you've done them for your whole life, they probably aren't very expansive, but that's a blanket statement that isn't true for everyone and everything and all of our rules. And I just, you know, I want to say here, I'm not talking about morals or integrity or anything like that. We know because we're the individualization of source. We have our red and green light within us. We know by the way we feel in our body, whether we are acting in integrity, whether we are being honorable, or whether we are not. You know, whether we're, and we know the feeling, right? We know the feeling when you know, just maybe offhandedly criticize something, including yourself. And I'm including yourself. And you just have that little in your body. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like a warp, like a wrong kind of thing. And I feel it. I feel it in my chest. I feel it in my gut. And I go back and I do what I need to do to correct that or sacrifice it or, you know, let it go. You know, any like Ram Dass said, sacrifice your feelings, sacrifice your thought, just keep sacrificing them because you're sacrificing them back to the void. You know, it's like casting the burden. Florence Gulshan, I cast the burden on the Christ within. Same thing. The Brahman, Atman, Christ, God, universe, all that is, Tao, it's all the same thing. And the point of sacrificing what you need to be rid of in your space, you know, that criticism or judgment or opinion or, you know, whatever it is that doesn't feel good. And, well, let me get through that first. What doesn't feel good to the void or casting that burden of fear or doubt or worry on the Christ within is you are giving it away. You're letting it go to a place that it cannot exist. to a place where it cannot exist. Florence would say you're casting the burden on the Christ within the fourth dimension, you know, where it can't exist there, because that's pure God. That's pure truth. That's pure non-judgment, acceptance, and love. So those things, I'm not talking about, as I said, integrity or morals or anything like that. I am talking about, you know, the rules that we've made for ourselves, that we've adopted since we were children, about what is the quote unquote right way to do things, to keep your house, to take care of your yard, to dress, to eat, to act, you know, and how you act in different situations. And again, we have our moral compass. We are the individualizations of source. So we're not going to go off the rails. But what if we, you know, I think about what have I, you know, by following rules and doing things the same way, what have I excluded myself from? A lot, right? I mean, I really have excluded myself from a lot of things. And I'm going to move my microphone just a little bit because I'm blowing into it as I talk. Sorry about that. But in becoming, you know, conscious about it, you become, what I've realized is that it's empowering, because when I'm conscious that I'm doing something, and it's like, how do I feel about this? How do I really feel about this? I become the observer, not just the automaton that is doing something on autopilot the way I've always done it. I become the questioner, not just the follower. And that is a whole different space to be in. We are master and commander. We are supreme in our own orbit. So this is another way of occupying that. It's also another way of occupying life and the present moment. So, you know, all those rules, you can also think of them as the controlling ego, because they are. You know, the ego just wants to keep us safe and separate and on track. And there's nothing creative about the ego, because it's all based on past experiences. It's based on the past. And the ego is mortal. It dies when the body dies, because it's constructed of all of our experiences in this lifetime. It's our personality. So that's part of it. Well, if you do that, if you dress that way, what are they going to think? Do you think anybody else at the party is going to be dressed like that? You know, it's all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm talking about. When you look at it and go, does this feel good to me to wear this? Yes, it does. I'm wearing this. You know, and I don't mean wear your jeans to a black tie event. You know, I'm not talking about that. But I mean, really, the things that, like, whoa, second guessing yourself for silly things. That's a big, I was going to say catch. That's not the right word for that. But when we catch ourselves doing that, that's awareness. And that's something that is a good idea to pay attention to. And just ask yourself, what do I really want to do in this situation? You know, what do I want to wear? How do I want to look? Because there's freedom in that. You know, when you honor that, you honor the way you want, what you want to wear, how you want to look, regardless. I mean, and you're going to go and you're going to just be your beaming self, which is happiness and joy and love and God, regardless of what you wear. That's what people will encounter. They encounter our vibrations before they ever even see us. We do that with each other. We encounter each other's vibrations before we even see each other physically. So that's a great vibration to go out ahead of you into whatever you're doing. So anyway, you know, if you think, you can think about it this way too. If you've operated all your life according to rules that I've been talking about and ways of doing things that you began to adopt in childhood. But consider this, you've lived many lifetimes since then. We live lifetimes in our lifetime. You've evolved. And At least some, maybe many, of those rules just don't serve you anymore. But the trick is you feel bound by them because it's how you've always operated. And again, back to if it's your method of operation or how you've operated, it's your comfort zone. So again, you know, the silly example of I want to wear this, and that voice comes in and goes, really? You know, it's easy to go, all right, I'll put on something else. Right? Because you've always done that. You've second-guessed yourself. Well, what, but back to, how about just feeling good? How do I feel in this? How do I feel in this? And how would I feel putting that on? It's just consciousness, awareness. So last week, when it came time to get my thoughts together for my show, I had none. It was like a flat brainwave where my show is concerned. I had no inspiration and no motivation. And that, I was going to say, rarely happens, but I can only think of a few times over what, 15, 16 years that I've been doing radio, that it has happened. You know, and I could have gone back to previous shows or notes or pulled something together, but without the jazz of being inspired about what I'm talking about, it would have been flat and it would not have been in integrity. It just wouldn't have. So I decided, instead of struggling through or beating myself up about it, I just do a replay. So that's what I had Serena do. And so then I ran into, you know, in the past, I'd only replayed shows because something was going on at the time of the show. A dentist visit, or the guys came to take, you know, do my tree, or something unexpected came up, or I was sick, or I didn't have a voice, literally. In other words, I had a quote unquote good reason for doing a replay. So this time, I really had to look at those words, you know, good reason. I had to have a good reason. I had to just look that in the eye, that belief in the eye, and realize that my, you know, I just simply wasn't inspired, and I had to honor that. And that had to just be a good enough reason. You know, I had to accept the circumstance and sit there and go, man, I just am empty. You know, I don't have anything, and accept my feelings about it and move on. So then it's like, well, now what? You know, now what? And then an interesting thing happened. when I was in that space of, what is it? You know, what am I called to do in this moment? God, source, what would you have me do? There were a couple of things that needed to be done in my yard that I hadn't had a chance to get to. And and they were, you know, they were calling my name because I see them out the window or walk by them every day. But I hadn't gotten a chance to do them yet. So I wanted to go out and I cut back the irises, get them prepared for fall. And some branches had fallen that I needed to cut up. And like I said, I've been looking at them for a while. But that morning was like, time to do it. Time to do it. It was ideal. And the thing that was so perfect about it was I could get it all done because I just had the time to do that. That's what I was focused on. I loaded them all up, all of it, up in the compost bin. And that was picked up the next day. So it was all perfect timing and a wonderful flow. And it felt really good to do it, to do, you know, physical stuff, to be outside, to be in the action of doing it. And then in seeing the result, you know, seeing that you got that done, that is motivating. You know, again, Florence, divine ideas never conflict. They never do. I was not inspired for my show, but I caught this great wave of inspiration to get done what I needed to do in my yard. You know, it truly is a no mistakes universe. And so that brought about another aspect of, you know, doing, being conscious of what you want to do, you know, and, you know, do I look at this? Am I doing this because I feel like I have to do it? Or do I really want to do it? Those are two different energies. Think about that. Those are two different energies. I have to get this done. What does that do? Makes a chore out of it. Makes it drudgery. I want to get this done. There you go. You feel the spin of that inspiration, the jazz of inspiration. Want to get this done. And then when you start, it's like it takes on a life of its own and you just follow it. So, you know, those two things in and of themselves are talking to us. Everything's talking to us through our feelings, our intuition too. But in that case, you know, in my case of doing the art, it was like I went against my rules because it was radio day. I always get up on Tuesday and tell Grace, it's radio day and this is what we're going to do. But I went against my rules. But I accomplished something that I hadn't planned. And that's another realization that came to me, or maybe a question, you know, back to, you know, how many things have I excluded by adhering to those rules? You know, because, you know, I had to get something done. I excluded going out or doing something else. I know I've done that, but, you know, it's just, again, it's awareness and consciousness. And there's a big world. Life is big. The rules and having to do things a certain way. And again, I'm talking from my personal experience because that's all I have to talk from. But those rules are pigeonholes. They're tiny boxes. And obviously, being conscious of how I feel and accepting it rather than overriding it, which is what I'd always, not always, but oftentimes done, is a new program for me. But I'm liking it. I'm liking it because, again, consciousness is always expansive, always. And it's just bringing out from me what already exists within me. You know, wisdom is God. Grace is wisdom. And grace is us because God is us. So it's just bringing things forward. It's kind of like washing the windows, you know? Washing the windows so that you can see something new. And it's really fun to think of it in those terms as well. But the thing about it too is, you know, being conscious of how I feel, accepting my feelings, also seems to work hand in hand with my intuition. And I live intuitively. Like I'll have a to-do list and I'll get to a place on there where it's like, okay. And inside it's like, nope, you know, red light, green light. And I go, okay, so what is it? You know, what, again, in this moment, what am I called to do? I live that way. I just never, that's how I work. You know, that's how I work. That's how I do my day is by that. I make a to-do list and then follow it, or it gets changed because something else comes in that is more important to do, or that is what I am called to do in the moment. But the thing of it is that at the end of the day, or however long it takes, maybe more than a day, everything gets done and with a lot more joy. So, you know, it's okay not to want to do something. It really is okay. This is my lesson to myself. It's okay to not want to do that. You don't have to judge yourself for it. It's not laziness or procrastination. It's just where you honor that. You know, acceptance really does equal freedom and expansion. It really does. It also equals self-love. Everything, as I said, begins and ends with us. If we accept ourselves, it's much easier to accept others and to not take things personally. And I had a realization about that, about taking things personally. When we take things personally, It excludes us from compassion because it puts our focus squarely on ourselves and how we've been offended. So let's ponder that for just a second. First of all, nothing is personal. Anything anyone else says to you or about you is coming through their filters, their influences. It is not truth. It is their opinion. It has nothing to do with you unless you let it. Irvin Seal. Anyone else's thought about you has nothing to do with you unless and until you make it your thought. If we understand that, we can see that something that was said to be hurtful is coming from the fear or pain of the person saying it, from their state of consciousness, not from them. They, like you, are the individualization of source, which is pure love. Acceptance helps us to take a step back and not get caught. Acceptance and neutrality, if they don't go, they're synonymous, I think. Acceptance is neutrality, and neutrality is acceptance. So that helps us to just take a step back and not get caught up in matching their emotion or pain. But instead of matching their emotion or pain, we can have compassion for them because that came from a place of pain or something, you know? And we can do that because we're neutral. Because we're neutral. Now, the other side of that coin is something that was said that was not intended to be hurtful, but we took it that way. And that hits up against some fear or pain that we're holding and gives us the opportunity to find the belief behind it and sacrifice it and to show ourselves that compassion. So now I want to focus on acceptance and love. So Jesus said that the first commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God is, big capital IS. God fills all space, and there is no man or living thing outside of God's grace. And our conscious oneness with God constitutes our oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. When we love God, actually when we love anything, anyone, anything, anything, Love, how can I say it? Love is huge. Love, we don't have love. Love is a thing. Love is God. Love is what we are. And it is a life. It is an entity, so to speak. That's not a good word. But if you just say it and feel it in your heart, in your body, you know, when we love anything, we are pouring love out of ourselves back into the source of love. Because love is God and God is all. So, what if we think of loving God as our neighbor? Loving God as everyone and everything. And here's the big one. Loving God as ourselves. Ooh. That's big. That's powerful. Even just saying that. You know, when that dawned on me, hit me a week or so ago, it just was like, man, a riveter, I'll say. It makes loving easier when we love God as our neighbor. I don't know what it does. I don't have words for it. But it makes loving everyone and everything and ourselves easier. It makes compassion easier. It makes life easier. It also bypasses our filters and influences and our rules and egos, and lets us experience the present moment and the people in it for what the moment is and for who they are. Because we are loving God as them. We're loving God as the experience of the present moment, good, bad, or indifferent. And that's acceptance. That's another way to look at acceptance. So now I want to share a couple of things. One from Joel Goldsmith, in The Heart of Mysticism, wrote about love, and he began with a portion of the prayer of St. Francis. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Joel wrote, to hold no one in bondage to his errors, sins, debts, or obligations is to find release from these oneself. This is to know love, and love is life eternal. Through my realization of God, I have learned this momentous lesson. When the spirit of love touches us, we are instantly freed from death. For love, it is revealed, is life. When love fills our consciousness, there is no hate, no fear, no sin, and therefore no death. Eternal life is achieved through love here on earth, and the passing from human sight is now an advancing state of consciousness from one plane of life to another. There comes a moment's intuitive flash when the realization dawns that death can no longer occur. That release from the need of death has been given. I have been given eternal life on earth with the full knowledge that when I pass from human sight, my going will be a progressive step in the path of light. This living in love dissolves that false sense of self and reveals our true self, infinite, perfect, and immortal. Now, from the Introduction to the Upanishads. Eknath Eshwaran wrote, the infinite is free, unbounded, full of joy, is our native state. We have fallen from that state and seek it everywhere. Every human activity is an attempt to fill this void. But as long as we try to fill it from outside ourselves, we are making demands on life which life cannot fulfill. Finite things can never appease an infinite hunger. Nothing can satisfy us but reunion with our real self, capital S, which the Upanishads say is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means absolute reality. Chit, pure awareness. Ananda, unconditioned joy. They tell us first that whatever we are, whatever we may have done, there is in each of us an inalienable self that is divine. The Mundaka Upanishad, Part 2, Section 2. This is my favorite. This is just my favorite Upanishad. It's my favorite part of the Upanishad. And if you've not read the Upanishads, they are light. They are just pure light. But Mundaka Upanishad, Part 2, Section 2. Bright but hidden, the self dwells in the heart. Everything that moves, breathes, opens, and closes lives in the self. He is the source of love and may be known through love, but not through thought. He is the goal of life. Attain this goal. The shining self dwells hidden in the heart. Everything in the cosmos, great and small, lives in the self. He is the source of life, truth beyond the transience of this world. He is the goal of life. Attain this goal. Take the great bow of the sacred scriptures, place it on the arrow of devotion, then draw the bowstring of meditation and aim at the target, the Lord of love. The mantra is the bow. The aspirant is the arrow, and the Lord is the target, Now draw the bowstring of meditation and hitting the target, be one with him. In his robe are woven heaven and earth, mind and body. Realize him as the one behind the many and stop all vain talk. He is the bridge from death to deathless life. Where all the nerves meet like spokes in a wheel, there he dwells, the one behind the many. Meditate upon him in the mantra. May he guide us from death to deathless life. He knows everyone and sees everything. It is his glory that fills the cosmos. He resides in the city of the heart. It is his power that moves body and mind. May he guide us from death to deathless life. When he is seen within us and without, he sets right all doubts and dispels the pain of wrong actions committed in the past. In the golden city of the heart dwells the Lord of love, without parts, without stain. Know him as the radiant light of lights. There shines not the sun, neither moon, nor star, nor flash of lightning, nor fire lit on earth. The Lord is the light reflected by all. He is shining. Everything shines after him. The Lord of love is before and behind. He extends to the right and to the left. He extends above, he extends below. There is no one here but the Lord of love. He alone is, in truth. He alone is. And with that, I'm feeling complete. So I'm going to say goodbye a few minutes early and float off to have some lunch. Just, that is so inspiring to me. So beautiful and so big. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this show was valuable for you today. Thank you for being here. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.